This message was pre-recorded by the My Generation Church. We pray that it provides you with hope, truth, conviction, and the vindicated image of Jesus. My Generation Church is located in the heart of Harlem, New York. Our services are on Saturdays at 12 noon. Be blessed and enjoy the message.
Y'all having church here. I'm excited. Thank you so much. Praise his name. Oh, bless you. I'm excited today because the Lord has given me another opportunity to come home. And so it's good to be back in the city, to see many friends who I haven't seen in years. I'm excited to see you all, to hear you all, to worship with you all. It's truly a blessing. And I'm grateful for my brother, your pastor, Pastor Dudley, who... I need you to hear this. Because I know sometimes it's necessary. The gifting that God has given to you does not come without the requisite thorns that often accompany roses. What I need you to know, though, is that what God has given you to do, God has strengthened you to accomplish. So I'm grateful for you all in your partnership with my brother in this portion of the Vineyard. Thank you to this praise team and this band, you all as worshipers, for just gathering here in this place. I'm asking that you would pray for your pastor, that he would be delivered from the spirit of Boston that has taken hold of him. You're in New York, sir. The Knicks are here. Knicks are here. I don't want to take too much time, just like 2 hours or so. But if you don't mind joining me in the book of 2 Samuel, I think the word has something for us today. I think the Lord has a purpose for each and every one of us that he desires for us to spend some time with him today. 2 Samuel, you guys there? You sure? All right, 2 Samuel and chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. I want to read just a few verses in your hearing. I'm going to read from the New American Standard Bible. Just follow along in whichever translation you have with you. 2 Samuel chapter 9, we're going to pitch our tents between verse 3 and verse... No, you know what, Lord? We're going to stop right there. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3. You guys got it? Bible says, the king said, "Is there not yet anyone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet." For a few minutes today, I want to talk to you under the title, Dropped. Father, I pray that you would move in this space, that you would give to us the fullness of your spirit, that in your presence, we would be changed, set free, and delivered today. Father, we need you. Everything else can wait. In the mighty name of Jesus, this prayer is rendered. Amen. Amen. Dropped is our title for today. And I think it's fitting, considering we are leaving Christmas Eve Eve. Some of you guys called it Thanksgiving. And this time of year is a year that is built with mixed emotions, feelings, thoughts. Because there's the joy of gathering, the joy of spending time, the joy of reuniting, seeing those who we haven't seen in quite some time. But that joy is often, sometimes, accompanied by the pain of memory. By words said in anger, by actions taken against us, either maliciously or unintentionally, which wounded us nonetheless. I saw a video on a reel on Instagram this past week. And in the reel, a young woman was sitting on the floor in the kids' area of the Thanksgiving dinner. She was sitting there giving them food. And then when they walked away, her expression changed. Her face dropped. The overlay came on top of the reel, and it said, "I will always, unfortunately, be the one who is sitting and eating with the kids at Thanksgiving, because somebody has to make sure that what happened to me doesn't happen to them." This is a time of year where many of us remember that for one reason or another, we have been dropped. Something has taken place in our lives. Something has happened. Maybe the word of a parent spoken in anger as they were dealing with a situation that had nothing to do with us, but we were dropped. Maybe something took place in our lives and we were in the care of someone who should have had better watch care over us. And for some unintended reason, nothing that they desired to happen to us, but we found ourselves dropped. So someone in this room who could, even if you don't lift your hands, could just remember the pain as you traverse through that relationship that you were done dirty in. Opened up the fullness of your heart, laid yourself bare before this person only to find out that unfortunately they could not care for you the way you thought you should have been. Somebody in this room has been dropped. Whether you talk about it or not, the awkward spaces in our Thanksgiving tables, the pictures that remind us, even if something was not done to us, someone suffered a loss that has been so weighty in our lives that we lost the ability to stand on our own. Someone doesn't like Thanksgiving. Someone doesn't like Christmas. Someone doesn't like Mother's or Father's Day, because those days simply remind you that the one who you should be celebrating with has been robbed from you. Someone in this room has been dropped. And you've been dropped, so you can resonate with this narrative here today. The text opens up for us in the 9th chapter of the 2 Samuel, verse 1. "Then David said, 'Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?'" Those who may not be aware, Saul is the king who was previous to David. He was the one who ruled over Israel. And David is looking for someone left from Saul's house because Saul's house has been wiped away. Saul and his son, Jonathan, David's best friend, were slain, and Israel lost that king who was stuck on himself. There's nothing seemingly left of the house of Saul, except watch what David says now. "I'm looking for someone, some inkling, some tiny fragment, some space, some picture of the house of Saul so I can show him kindness for Jonathan, my friend's sake." Don't miss this, y'all. And now there's a servant from the house of Saul. His name is Ziba. They called Ziba to David, and David asked him, "Are you Ziba?" He responded, "I sure am." David then says, "Is there someone left from the house of Saul? Anyone who I can show favor to?" Ziba then opens his mouth and says, "If my memory serves me correctly, there is someone left from the house of Saul. It's actually the son of your best friend, Jonathan, but he's crippled in both feet." Now, this made me pause right here. Stay with me. Don't get lost. Because he introduces him not by name, but by his brokenness. I wish someone in this room could get this thing here, because very often we are put on Front Street. We are introduced. We are set up not by who we are, who God called us, what we've done, but rather by the broken parts of us. Y'all, don't feel so haughty. We do it too. There was someone in the Bible who for one moment did not believe Jesus had resurrected, and we now refer to him as doubting Thomas. Don't get on your high horse just yet. The text tells us that there was a woman who was forgiven of sin, that Jesus did not allow for anyone to stone her. He redeemed her and sent her on her way brand new, but we still call her the woman caught in adultery. We forget that she had been set free into newness of life, and we still remember her by her brokenness. Someone in this room can understand how it feels to be talked about in rooms that you're no longer in. You know that's her, the one who XY in the third. You know that's him, the one who did this, yada, yada, yada. You know that's the one who you can't trust your purse around. That's the one who they found in somebody's car with somebody else. That's the one who they saw coming out of that apartment early in the morning. That's the one, you know, they call her lean because she always leaning. That's the one, her favorite time of year, her favorite time of day is 420. You know, that's the one. They're individuals who call you by your brokenness, who call you by your problem, who call you by your issue, who call you by your struggle. I don't like it, but sometimes I find myself doing the very same thing. Ziba says, yes, there is someone left, but before he opens his mouth and tells him who he is, where he is, what he's done, he doesn't even call him by name. The text says that he says, yes, Jonathan has a child left. Your best friend still has seed in this earth. But before you go looking for him, before you begin to associate, before you begin to rub shoulders and elbows with this individual, I need you to know, write this thing down so you can't say, I didn't warn you about the kind of person he is. He's crippled in both his feet. Y'all say both of them. Now, you may not be familiar with what's happening, and I don't blame you, because the text has yet to give us this man's name. But the text did inform us of his origin story. If you were to flip back to chapter 4, you would find the birth of the legend Mephibosheth. Chapter 4 tells us, now when Ishbosheth, Saul's son, heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost courage, and all Israel was disturbed. Saul's son had two men who were commanders of bands. The names of one was Baanah, and the name of the other was Rechab. This is important. Don't miss this. Sons of Rimmon the Berethite and sons of Benjamin. For Bereth is also considered part of Benjamin. And the Berethites fled to Gittim and have been aliens there unto this day. Don't miss this. Something is going wrong. They come in for Saul. The kingdom is falling. Everybody has lost their mind and they're scattering. This is important. Now, Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son. Y'all still hear me? Crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. He was 5 when someone came to him, to his family and said, Saul and Jonathan have died. He was 5 when the news report came and said, your father and grandfather have been taken away. He was 5. He was incapable of even digesting the information that he had been given. He was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came to Jezreel, from Jezreel. And the nurse took him up and ran. And it happened that in her hurry to flee, he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Don't miss this. The woman who was responsible for taking care of him, the woman whose care he was in her haste to get herself to safe places, in her haste, y'all don't miss this, to make sure that this child was not harmed, in her haste to vacate this place where they thought they might have not been welcome anymore. The text says that she grabbed this boy up, but did not grab him securely. She grabbed him up, but did not hold him tightly. She grabbed him up, and in her haste to run, she dropped him. And when she dropped him, Jesus help me, when she let him fall, when she let him slip through between her clutched fingers, the text says, he became broken. It's only after this brokenness that we're given his name. My God. His name was Mephibosheth. I don't know if any of you are Hebrew scholars, so I'll break this down for you. Mephibosheth means the dispeller of shame. Mephibosheth means the one who chases away the shame. Y'all hear with me? Okay, I need to get this thing now. Now, in the Semitic culture, don't miss this, y'all. In the Semitic culture,
children were named after their God-given purpose. Y'all ain't here with me. Y'all call me BC. My name is Ndubisi. Ndubisi means a life lived well. You hear this? Don't miss this. My parents' desire was that I would live a life, God help me, that was dedicated to him in such a way that at the end of days, you could look at me and say, this life was lived well. Y'all ain't here with me. There's someone in this room who was named a certain thing, because before you were formed in the womb, God knew you. Y'all ain't here with me. He called you and ordained you a prophet among the nations. You don't know this yet, but you were given a name. You were given a full government. Don't miss this thing. And the text says that Mephibosheth, who had fallen and broken, is being looked for. Don't miss this. The king says to him, okay, he's crippled in both feet. Verse 4, chapter 9. So where is he? Ziba said to the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. This is good to me, y'all. Lodabar means pastureless place. It means wilderness. Y'all don't miss this. It means dry and arid and empty and barren and broken. Somebody said fruitless. The text says that he is in the house of the seller in the wilderness. He's in dry places away from where life can be spoken into him. He's not near the living water. Y'all ain't here with me. He's not near the bread of heaven. Y'all ain't here with me. He's not near the sustainer of his soul. Don't miss this. And the reason why he is in Lodabar at Machir's house is because when his family was fleeing, they dropped him and broke him. Now he is in hiding in a dry place. Don't miss this. It's incredible to me how sometimes our brokenness can take us off of our course in destiny. Don't miss this. They named him the dispeller of shame. Now the dispeller of shame is living in shameful places. Because of his brokenness, instead of walking in what God called him to, he's living in a place that his name said should have been cleaned up by his very presence. Because of his brokenness, he's living in dry places when his very presence should cause them to spring to life. Because of his brokenness, he's living in dark places when his very presence should light up the world. Y'all ain't here with me. It's Thanksgiving. So I'll put it this way. Because of his brokenness, he's eating flavorless and unseasoned turkey. But because of his name and his purpose, he hasn't remembered that God called him the salt of the earth. He should be seasoning some things. And I want someone in this room to understand this thing, that your current placement and position in life might be a direct result of your unresolved brokenness. There's someone in this room who's a dispeller of shame, but you're finding yourself living in shameful places. There's someone in this room who's a disseminator of hope, but you find yourself living in hopeless places. There's someone in this room who is the fruit of joy, but you find yourself living in places without joy. And I want you to know that sometimes your brokenness can kick you off of your path and put you in places that not only should you have never been, but those places should have never existed because you do. Text says he's living in Lodabar. But I'm so glad that despite the context, our hermeneutical passage for today has not come to its conclusion. I said it too big, I didn't get it. The story's not done yet. The text says in verse 5, then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. I want to talk to someone really, really quickly. I'm not done yet. This ain't part of the sermon. Throw it away if you don't want it, but keep it if you do. The text says that even in your brokenness, don't miss this, y'all, before we've gotten to pastor's points that you can write down and tweet about later, before you begin to understand the full narrative structure of the text, what the text informs us of is, despite your brokenness, despite your position, despite your location, despite your posture, I need someone to get this thing, the king is looking for you. I love this. The text says that even before you became aware of the fact that he was seeking, the king was looking for you. Even before you knew that he didn't care about your brokenness, he was looking for you. Even while you were still hiding in pastureless places, covering yourself up in degradation and despair, the text says that the king was looking for you. I'll say it this way. He sat on high, but look down low. He noticed your condition and said to himself, I don't see it as right. I don't see it as fit for me to remain in heavenly places while my people are struggling down below. He took off his glory and laid that thing aside. He put his crown down and wrapped our injured flesh around him to breathe our air and walk our sod, to rob us of our sins and make us holy. The text says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The text said that he who knew no sin became sin so that we might be called the righteousness of God. The text said that the eyes of God move to and fro. Plain English, he's looking for you. I'm excited. Because I know we dress it up well on Sabbaths, but I don't walk on water in the bathtub. You hear me? My life ain't perfect. I don't do everything the way I should, but I'm so glad that despite my condition, the king is looking for me. Someone needs to get this thing. It's important that he's looking for you. Ooh. Because your broken state does not allow you to even look for him. Y'all ain't here with me yet. See, this man is a Jew. Oh, okay. In a system that established that those who are infirmed in their flesh cannot enter the sanctuary. So even if you wanted to look for him, your brokenness kept you from it. So he said, ooh, like the demoniac on the road who wasn't in the right mind to even call for God. He said, I will find you where you are. Someone here today needs to celebrate that God is looking for you. Text says that the king sends and brings him from Lodabar into his throne room. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came and fell on his face, prostrated himself before David. David says, Mephibosheth? And he said, here is your servant. I love this, y'all. When he showed up, the king called him. Y'all, you better preach this sermon for me. The king didn't call him broken. The king didn't call him cripple. The king didn't call him lame. The king didn't call him thief. The king didn't call him liar. In fact, if you showed up with those names, he said, come here, let me talk to you, Jacob. I know they called you the heel grabber, but I'm going to name you he who wrestles with God and comes out victorious. Come this way. I see you, Simon, and I raise you, Peter. Come this way, child of God. Let me call you by name. And somebody in this room has been living too long under the moniker of your brokenness. God said, that is not the name, the nomenclature that I assigned to you when I dreamed about you. So when you show up in the king's presence, the king calls you by who you are, not by what has been done to you. He falls on his face. The king calls him Mephibosheth. He says, here is your servant. He says, good to me. He says, now I will show you the kindness for you for the sake of your father Jonathan. I talk to you really, really quickly because there's some broken people in this room right now. Maybe it's just me. I'll preach to myself. Who have received today that God is calling you. That God is not afraid of the stuff that you try to hide. That God is not impressed with the mask that you put on to cover up your brokenness. But God says, I call you, not the person you pretend to be. Can I pause really quickly? I know this ain't part of the text, but I tell people this often. God can't heal what you hide. So the perfect person that you're presenting to him, he can do nothing with it. But God is not afraid of what lies beneath the mask. And there's a phantom in this opera who needs to stand before him and allow him to do the work in you, which is the reason he called you to begin with. But someone in this room is sitting here saying, I've been called by the king. But I'm still really feeling the weight of my brokenness. Maybe he's not looking down there, but how can he miss that my legs don't work? Maybe he's just posturing and pretending like it's not a big deal for him. But everybody who I've ever met has dealt with me in my brokenness because of my brokenness. They've handled me because of my brokenness. I wasn't always the tall person you see before you now. Thank you. I don't see why we're laughing. Nothing funny. But I recall some period during Pathfinders where we were on an obstacle course and there was a wall. Now, I just knew I could climb this wall. Matter of fact, I knew I could jump over this wall. Mickey, tell him, I got bungees. However, everyone around me looked at my stature. Not now, then. I'm good now. Speak out of my brokenness. Looked at my stature and said, because of your height, this is impossible for you. No one would allow me to attempt that which I knew I could do. And sometimes people have gotten used to being treated a certain way because of your brokenness. So in the summons of the king, you're a little skeptical. You know, that prayer you pray, God, please let me make it in. Despite the fact that he told you that I've already written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's working with you so he don't take it out. You acting like you gotta beg him to put it in. We're so used to dealing with our brokenness that now in the summons of the king, we're listening to what he says with skepticism. What do you do? What do you believe when you're confronted with the fact that God called you knowing you were broken? How do you structure your mental faculties to receive the fact that he knew you were broken and called you anyway? Text has something to say. I'm going to say it and get out of your way. First thing I'm seeing here, don't miss this. Text says, let me, show kindness to you for the sake of your father, Jonathan. Jakeen, he said, what I am doing what I desire to do in your life has nothing to do with you. I am doing this in your life because of who has claimed you as their child. This text is good. The text says it's not about your ability. It's not about your strength. It's not about your cognitive faculty. It has nothing to do with you. But rather, it has everything to do with who your father, y'all, which is good. Because the text tells me that my legs are broken. So even if I wanted to jump, I can't jump. But I'm so glad that he didn't call me and say, I want to do it for you based on your ability. But rather, I want to do in your life based on your relationship with your father. Y'all ain't here with me. He says, every blessing that I will pour out to you, every kindness that I will show you, everything I want to do in your life, I do it in your life because Jesus looked at you and said, that is mine. This belongs to me. We're in right relationship. Father, change the contract. Write down joint heirs. Everything that I have belongs to them. Everywhere I put my foot, I write their name on it. And God says, the kindness I'm showing to you has nothing to do with your ability to earn said kindness, and everything to do with the fact that I love you based on relationship with your father. Yo, he says, I will show you kindness. And I'm doing this thing for the sake of your father, Jonathan. This is good, y'all. Listen. Because I'm doing it for the sake of your father, Jonathan, what he's saying here, this is good. What he's saying here is everything that I do, I do this thing in your life as if I'm doing it in his life. So the king is not even looking at what you think are your strengths. You know how serious, when you're broken, you try and highlight your unbroken parts. Yeah. We call it overcompensating. Yeah. They used to say you can always tell a Christian in the club because they're doing too much. Overcompensation. We try to highlight the best of us so we don't showcase our brokenness. The text says, I'm not even looking at your best. Your righteousness is as somebody preached this text here. He said, when I look at you, I don't even see you. I see the one who claimed you, y'all. I see the one who wrapped themselves around you. I see the one who covered you in his blood. And everything that I do for his sake. This is good because we are broken people, according to the text. Don't miss this, y'all. And sometimes we try to stand on our own, forgetting our legs don't work. And if it was for our sake, if it was because of us, in that moment when we fell, we would forfeit what we'd received. But the text says, because he does it for our father's sake, even when you fall, I can look beyond your faults and see your needs. Somebody celebrate God in this room right now. The text says, I do this for your sake. Y'all, my daughter is here, but she's not here. She's at my home church right now. And I'm very upset. Because I know when I get home, my daughter will come into the house laden with cookies, buried in chocolate, juiced up on ice cream. They'll shake that girl up and send her home to me. They haven't seen this girl in a whole year. She comes back, she goes, Daddy, someone gave me Oreos. I say, who gave you Oreos? She says, some lady.
I don't know who she is. And truth be told, she'll know who you are either. But she knows your daddy. Y'all, they looked at you and said, you look like BC. Is that his daughter? Yes, that's his baby. Yo, go in the car and bring the candy. Yeah. Because they look at you, they don't see you. They see little BC, and they want to shower you because of your relationship with me. The text says they look at you and they don't even see you. You look like your father. You look like the king of the universe. You look like the one with all dominion and all authority and all power. So what is done for you is not done because of you. You're just a happy beneficiary of that work which was done before you were even here. I gotta go. I do this kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you, don't miss this, all the land of your grandfather Saul. Y'all got too excited. You got too excited. You were like, yeah, he gonna restore all my land. Yay. What land? You were dropped at 5. You've been hiding since then. You've been in barren places. What land you got? Y'all ain't here with me. What favor you got? What bank you got? What did you and your broken self work for? I wish maybe it's just me. I like to cook. Miguel knows this thing. And people think I'm bougie. When they come to my, it's all right. They got a childish palate. It's okay. But people come and they see all of my cooking gadgets. I got a sous vide. You feel me? I got a sous vide. You feel me? Yeah. I have induction contraptions. Y'all hear? We be chefing. You feel me? Okay. Stainless steel pans. Yeah. We don't bang with the nonstick. No. We make them nonstick. We be chefing. Y'all ain't here with me. The material that I use. I use for a reason. Y'all ain't here with me. In fact, anyone who's seen me, every time I start cooking, before I do anything, I sharpen my knives. It's not a sharp knife that will cut you. It's a dull knife that will cut you. Don't miss it. You missed it. It's not a sharp knife that will cut you. It's a dull knife that will cut you. Don't miss this. The reason why I take care to have good instruments, accoutrement, if you will, as I am cooking, is because the quality of your product is determined by the quality of your tool. So even if you were to have land, that land would be broken because your tool is broken. The text says, not I'm going to return to you your land because you ain't got none. The text says your grandfather has some land sitting. Technically, because I'm the king, y'all ain't here with me. Technically, because I'm the king, we shouldn't be having a conversation about your grandfather's land, because any land your grandfather had is mine. However, because I want to show you kindness, I have gone into what belongs to me and I have divided it so I can determine what belonged to your grandfather. Now I will take what belonged to your grandfather, watch the word, and I will restore it to you. That means it should have eventually belonged to you, but your brokenness made that impossible. So I'm giving you something that would have belonged to you if not for what happened in your life. I'm restoring it to you. Y'all, you're shouting too soon, because the text says that Mephibosheth is broken. What am I going to do with all this land? I can't even walk it, let alone tend to it. I love this, y'all. The text highlights for us that when God gives you a task, he gives you a responsibility. They missed it, Dudley. When he gives you a task, he gives you a responsibility. He gives you the ability to respond. Meaning, even in your brokenness, when God gifts you, God then looks at you and says, what additional gift do I need to give to you to make sure the initial gift I gave to you can be taken advantage of? God is giving you gifts in your gifts to make up for your broken. Preacher, it sounds good. Put some text on it. Okay. The text says in verse 9, the king called Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, all that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. Now, you and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him. And you shall bring in the produce so your master's grandson may have food. This is good, y'all. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. So the text says that when the king gave him land, he also gave him, y'all ain't here with me, 15 sons, 20 servants, and another one. Because he said, in your brokenness, you can't even cultivate what I've given to you. So don't miss this. I'm going to give you this land. I will give you cultivation of said land. And all you have to do is sit back and watch me work. There's someone here right now. Don't miss this thing. Your brokenness has not excluded you from the promises of God. The problem is that you haven't answered the call of the king, because you're still ashamed in your brokenness, still guilty in your brokenness, still broken in your brokenness. And what he is saying to you is, if you will allow me to hold you in my arms, to look beyond your brokenness and see my child, if you will allow me to work in your life, I will begin to accomplish for you what you could have never dreamt about accomplishing for yourself. He says, I will give you the land. He said, I will give you the servants. He said, I will give you the cultivation, and you will reap in places you did not. You will harvest in places you did not plant. You will bring forth in places you could not walk. This ain't some cockamamie prophecy. The text says that God desires to do for you just because of who you're tied to. I gotta go. He says, watch this. I'm not seeing you. I'm seeing your father. So the good things I'm doing for you, I'm doing because of who you're tied to. Then he says, I'm going to restore what the enemy has stolen. And I will give you the means to bring forth fruit outside of your own ability. Somebody in here got a job they didn't apply for. Maybe it's just me. Somebody in this room sent out college applications and got back an acceptance from one you didn't send out. Because you were like, I don't take tests well. Let me not even bother. Sowing in places you did not reap. reaping in places you did not sow. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody in this room got something that you did not deserve. Don't believe me? Who is saved by grace through faith and not of works, so that no man can boast? The text says that you are reaping things that should not belong to you. I gotta go. Not only is he showing you kindness because of who you're attached to, I'm well over my time. Not only has he given to you what you could not get for yourself, but then the text says, ooh, God help me. And you shall eat at my table regularly. Y'all don't see it? Y'all don't see it? Let me show it to you. He said, I'm going to give you land. That land will be cultivated for you, and the food will be brought to you. Don't touch it. Don't touch what I'm harvesting for you, because you're going to eat my food at my table. That means, oh, this is good. That means that not only is God going to give you the ability to harvest, God is going to establish you that you don't live off of what you harvest. He says the blessings that you are moving in are from my table. Oh, the favor that you are experiencing is from my table. The mercy that you have received is from my table. The things that you are living in, that's from my table. Don't believe me? I've prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I've anointed your head with oil and your cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will hunt you down, that's the Hebrew, all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord. Y'all say it forever. Text says you will eat at my table. How often, Lord? Regularly. This Hebrew is complicated because this regularly means regimented. That means your eating at my table is scheduled. That means your presence is expected. That means there's never a time when you can show up in my presence and I'll look at you and say, what are you doing here? There's never a time when you'll show up in my presence and I'll say to you, I wasn't expecting you yet. There's never a time when you can show up in my presence and I'll say, let me get stuff together so I can give you what you need. But every time you show up, every time you come up, in fact, every time I turn around, God keeps making a way. Now, this is good for me, and it also corrects me because I have a habit of showing up at I can't go now because it's not prayer meeting. I'll wait till Wednesday. Starving. I can't go now because service starts at 1 and it's 12:30. I'll wait. Starving. I can't. Pastor, we're not in a week of prayer. So I'll just hold off until we are in one. Starving. When the text says that every time you're hungry, find yourself at my table. Y'all ain't here. Y'all ain't here. Don't worry about whether or not your servants have had time to prepare a place for you. Bring yourself where there is a place, where it's provided for you. Ooh. Can I show you this? He says, oof, in verse 11, then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king commands his servant to do, I will do. Whew. However, let me step you back into verse 8. I know I got to go, but I want you to see this. And I'll never come back again, I promise. The king said, I want to show you kindness because of who you're tied to. The king said, I want to give you the ability to reap where you should not step. The king said, I want to prepare a place where you can be nourished regularly. I called you Mephibosheth. I return to you your title and purpose. You are the dispeller of shame. And Mephibosheth, after hearing this, opens his mouth and says, what is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me? Here's the problem. See, we've been living in brokenness for so long that our default response is to express out of our brokenness. And the reason why I want you to see this is because you will take yourself out of the blessing of God because of your innate knee-jerk reaction to remain in the safety of your brokenness. Some of y'all saw 8 Mile, and Eminem went up on stage in the final battle, and before the bars were dropped, M began to just to tear himself apart. Yeah, I do live in a trailer park. Yeah, I am the worst. I'm terrible. I'm. Yeah. Watch this now. The reason why he did this is because he wanted to take the bullets out of his enemy's gun. Mm-hmm. So he said, I'll shoot myself so you can't shoot me. And some of us have been broken for so long that our knee-jerk reaction is to shoot ourselves for fear that we'll be shot by others. It's to cut ourselves for fear that we'll be cut by others. This is too good to be true. Let me lower myself before they shame me again. This is too nice for me. Let me guilt myself before they guilt me. This shouldn't belong to me. Let me make myself feel bad so that when they say what they're going to say, I won't feel as bad as I would. Let me wound myself because of my brokenness. Text says that the king lays all this before him, and his response is, why would you do this for roadkill? A dead dog like me. But what I want you to do, that's right, preach it. What I want you to do is I want you to remember the initial word given to you when the king called you. Because you see your brokenness, the king sees his friend. You see your deficits, the king sees his relationship with the one who claimed you. You see your flaws and faults, the king sees the love he has for the one who called you his. You see what the king ain't looking at. And in rejecting the king, what you are doing is you are telling the king that your brokenness is greater than his love for you. So David reminds him, fam, don't nobody care about your knees. When I look at you, I see the one who calls you his. Now that's difficult, because when y'all in the mirror, all you see are your faults, flaws, and failures. But he says, my mirror don't work like yours. You need glasses anyway. When I look at you, I see my son. Y'all ain't here. When I look at you, I see glory come down. When I look at you, I see heaven ransomed earth. When I look at you, I see a baby in a manger, grown to a man who walked the world, grown to a man who hung on a cross. When I look at you, I see who you are covered by. So our response is to remove ourselves from the mindset of brokenness that will seek to keep us in the places he's calling us out of. Plain English, I called you out of Lodabar. Don't let your brokenness drag you back there. I'm done. But can I ice this cake real quick? Verse 11. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table as one of the king's sons. So Mephibosheth ate at the table as one of the king's sons. So when he was summoned, was summoned out of who he was and summoned into who God desired him to be. And there's someone in this room who spent too much time as your mama's daughter and your father's son. And he is saying that I want you to sit at my table so you can be regarded as one of my sons. So you can be regarded as one of my children. I love this, y'all, because here's the benefit of sitting at the king's table. Someone's not happy with me. I'm gonna get you real quick. The text closes this out and says, so Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate at the king's table regularly. Now he was lame in both feet. I'm gonna close this so you know I'm done. The text opened up by saying, this person is lame in both feet. The text ends with this person was lame in both feet. I love this, y'all. But in the former, the text says that he was lame in both feet as a marker of identification. He is his brokenness. Thank you. At the end of the text, it says to us, he was lame in both feet as a marker for celebration of the miraculous. Don't miss this. He's seated at the king's table. Y'all ain't here with me. See, I'm tall. Amen. Out of my brokenness. You're slightly taller than I am, Pastor. Just slightly. That would be a problem unless we were both seated at a table. Because when we're both seated at a table, you can't see my brokenness. Y'all. He's lame in both legs, but the table covers his legs. He's lame in both legs, but the blessing of the king is all you see. He's lame in both legs, but all you see is the provision of the Lord. He's lame in both legs, but all you see is the turkey of truth, the broccoli of blessing, the macaroni of miracles, the sweet potato of salvation. He's lame in both legs, but all you see is that he always provides. So when you're seated at the king's table, people come in and begin to talk about how good God is. And they have to end the conversation with, and did you know that he's lame in both feet? Because people can't look at you and tell where you've come from, because you no longer look like where you've been. I need 2.5 people to celebrate the covering of the Lord. And he covers your brokenness. He covers your shame. He covers your guilt. He covers your problems. He covers your issues. He covers your struggles. And when you're seated at the king's table, they look at you and they don't see brokenness. They see the king's daughter. They look at you and don't see
infirmity. Let's see the King's Son of someone celebrate that God can cover in you what you could not cover for yourself. He's seated. He's seated. He's seated at the King's table. And did you know? He's broken in both legs. Can't even tell. So that which was terrible is now a testimony. Y'all ain't here with me. If I were preaching, I'd say to somebody that the text says that you are seated. Because the King, is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And Ephesians 2 says that we are seated with him, in him, in heavenly places. So while you're still struggling to let go of the guilt and shame of your brokenness, he said there is a seat at the table, and at the table people can't discern what you have felt shame for. And so for you, dispeller of shame, there has been created a dispeller of shame. God has done what you are purposed to do in this world, in your own very life. Will someone in the room today accept what God has spoken over you, or will you drag yourself back into the dry places he's called you out of? I'm done. My Bible's closed. But there's someone here who needs to accept that God is not bothered by your brokenness, but rather God looks at your brokenness and sees a reason to summon you into his presence. There's someone here who's been hiding, who's been ashamed, who felt as if they're not worth anything because of something that has been done to you, because of some place that you have been, because of something that you did for yourself. You feel guilt. You feel shame. You feel that there's been a miscarriage of righteousness in your life, and you hide yourself in plain sight, hoping that nobody will look at you and see what you see every day. But today, there is a word from on high. There is a call from the King. And if you desire to live in this newness, if you desire to come on in where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is forever, will you stand to your feet now as we pray this prayer? Father, I thank you for your mercy endures forever. You've been better to us than we could have ever been to ourselves. God, you've seen us, and despite our brokenness, God, you've loved us. You loved us even before we could love you. You loved us even before we knew who you were. You loved us, Father, and you put actionable steps in that we might be saved from that which harbors us in brokenness. God, you've done a work in each and every one of us, and this Thanksgiving weekend, Father, we are especially thankful for what you have done in our lives. We're standing today, right now, because we declare that we are not going back to where you called us from. We declare today that we will no longer abide in brokenness. We will no longer abide in dry places. But God, whatever you speak over our lives, we will accept. We ask right now that you would first teach us to receive your salvation, that you would first teach us to believe in our hearts that you have saved us from the dead and ransomed us into your kingdom, and there is forever laid up for us a crown of righteousness. Father, we thank you for the work that you've done in our lives. We thank you for your rest. Now we ask, God, that we would begin to see the fruit of your salvation brought forth, bubble up, God, in our lives. Remind us each and every day that we are not trash, but we're God's treasure. Remind us each and every day that we have the ability in Jesus Christ to leap over the walls that have been placed before us, that we have the power through your Holy Spirit to continue to press forward in the places where you've called us, and that we, God, have the invitation to your holy table. Sons and daughters of the Most High King forever and ever. God, we accept this today. God, we receive your word in our lives today, and we will be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Everyone under the sound of my voice, give God a clap of praise. Give him a shout in the room. Someone say hallelujah, for he has done good things. Amen and amen.